Well, praise the
Lord,
everyone.
Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hallelujah. Go ahead, Jason.
Hey, good evening, Dr. Hunter. How you doing this evening?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And hallelujah. To the living God.
Everybody's doing real good. Everybody's doing real good.
Amen. Go ahead.
Amen.
Jason?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Well, I would like to say good evening to everyone that has been led to join us this evening. I want to say grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ to all those that may be listening. May we be filled with his word and his fellowship this evening. I'm going to come from open with the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 18. Verses 1 through 5, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verse 1 through 5, and they read, "At the time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, 'Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?' And Jesus called the little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me.'" You know, as I read this scripture, I reflect on some of the humility, the humble characteristics of a child that Christ was highlighting here in Scripture. Some of those characteristics of a child that speaks to humility is that normally a child is very teachable, okay, because a child is still learning and still growing and developing, so children are made to be very teachable. They tend to be eager to learn. They also have a desire to be led. So even though some children seem to rebel a little bit against instruction or have a little hard time, struggle with the resistance sometimes, but it doesn't change the fact what I have kind of more than anything else, that children want you to invest in them. They want you to love them, but they also want someone that's willing to correct them. So they also want to lead them and show them the right way. And so a child has a desire to want to be led. A child also tends to have a willingness to submit to authority. So especially when they're little children, depending on the 1 and 10, they have this willingness to want to submit to their parents' authority in their home. And most importantly, children are like fun. They are made to absorb, to be poured into, and to soak up. They have a very flexible mentality. They're like sponges, so they're going to suck up whatever is being taught to them and for whatever form of media is taught. So that also means good or bad. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs, it tells us that we can train up a child the way that you go, and when they are old, they will not depart from that. But one of the things that the scripture is also highlighting is that also means good and bad training. So they receive incorrect training, then a child is typically going to walk in an incorrect training or incorrect teaching later in life for the same reason some of the good things they're going to walk into. So a child is like a sponge. And see some of the characteristics of a child that I believe that really speaks to the humble characteristics of a child. And Christ is telling us, he's speaking about humility. He is teaching his disciples, and he's also teaching us that to be in his presence, we should be like a child that has these types of characteristics that come out of us so that we can be in his presence. So humility is very important to God. And so, you know, today, the title of today's lesson is "The Greatest in the Kingdom of Heaven, Humility Before God." And so I'm going to, while this is not an all-inclusive message on humility, I'm going to touch on why humility before God is so important at four different points. Again, why humility before God is so important at four different points. So, number one, why is humility before God so important? Number one, because we're able to get grace for our everyday situation. We're able to get grace for our everyday situations. When we're humble before Him, we get grace for our everyday, every week, everyday situations. I think of the most, the contrast between David and Saul's life. And you see how this grace is fair, because they both struggled with some of the same similar things and committed some of the same types of sins. Saul allowed his insecurities, the things he struggled with, to push him to be a prideful, to push him to be a haughty person, a person that would not submit under the authority of God. And when we're prideful, then what that also means is that we will tend to go our own way. I'm reminded in Scripture as an example of how God commanded him through Samuel to go out and kill all these Amalekites off and to kill everything off, including not only the people and the children, but also the animals and everything in the camp. But Saul, because of his insecurities that was really the driving force, which led him to be prideful, did not submit to that and instead revised and made up his own plan and ended up trying to save some of the, what he felt to be some of the good spoils of the battle for themselves, and then he thought he was going to kind of make that right and offer it up to God. But what he didn't realize is that obedience to what God had told him was far more important than his sacrifice that he was making, which God did not ask for. But David, you know, went through some similar things where, you know, his list and things go on and on, but the Bible always refers to as David was a man after God's own heart. And how could that be? How could that be? And it was because he was willing to, even when he persisted in doing wrong, when he was confronted, whether by a prophet or whatever the case can be, even by his own general, Joab at times confronted him because he decided to go name all the children, count all the number of children of Israel. When he was confronted by God, he humbled himself, he confessed and humbled himself before God. And even though he still had to deal with the consequences of disobedience before God, but he was given grace to be able to still have a fruitful life in God. And so when humility is so important before God, because again, it gives us grace in everyday situations, so even though we make mistakes and even though we do sometimes the wrong thing, humility will drive us to our knees like David and confess those things and repent. And therefore, we are forgiven, and God gives us grace to continue to thrive in his relationship, our relationship with him. James chapter 4, verse 6 says, and speaking of God, it says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. He gives grace to the humble, and God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And so that's, we need to remember that. And we also need to remember, as we're reflecting on the fact that, you know, getting more grace is a byproduct and a reason for us to be humble before God, we also have to reflect on the fact that pride is something that, one of those things that God hates. When you go into the book of, if you go into Proverbs, there are seven things that's listed in his word that are abominations to God. So we need to grab an understanding of how severely God hates and loves certain things. It says in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19 says, these six things the Lord hates, yes, seven are an abomination to him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and run into evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brothers. And we notice what's at the top of that list. Pride is at the top of the list. But why pride? Why pride? And the reason why it is that we go back to the beginning of this whole thing, is that we need humility to come before God, not just so we can get grace, but because pride is the opposite of humility. You cannot be prideful and you humble at the same time. For the same reason, you cannot have fear and love at the same time. They are complete opposites. And in order for us to be in the fellowship that we need to be in God, we have to be humble, and we have to admit our mistakes, and we have to be transparent to Him and let God do it. And when we do, then we also will be men and women after God's own heart, because He knows that we're not perfect. So again, number one, why is humility before God so important? It's because we get grace when we are humble before God. Number two, why is humility before God so important? Well, so God will hear our prayers.
Amen.
So God will hear our prayers. Amen. We have a lot of people, and I've made that mistake at times so in my life as well, where I've come to prayer and I want to pray, but I have pride within me, and I come into His presence with pride, and I find my prayers being frustrated or me feeling separate from Him or not having those prayers answered. You know, see, in other words, the condition of our heart when we fellowship with God is most important to God. The condition of our heart is most important to God. You know, and think about it. You know, even as men, you know, the Bible says that we have been made in His likeness, and there's certain things we also don't like. I mean, you know what it's like as a person, and Dr. Hunter, you know this as being in the faith for a long time, what it's like to minister to someone that has a proud heart. When they come to you and they say, I got this problem, and you listen to them, and the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you about what's going on in their life, and then you get the release to speak to what you have, what God is giving you for them, and they have pride. They deny it, or, you know, that's not what's going on. You don't understand. And all of a sudden, they try to. On
Amen.
A, you know, pride is within the counseling session. It's like, well, you know, in other words, pride makes them blind to themselves. And so if we, is, you know, or we have people, I go to church, people that have children that, you know, that tend to have maybe struggling with some prodigal ways, and they try and talk to their children, but because of pride, the child won't even listen to their parents, and therefore is going a path to destruction. So we can see it whether it's now or even on our jobs. I mean, you ever work with a boss that can't hear nothing? You know, and you try to reason with him, tell him that this is a, you hired me to advise you on this, what we're doing here, and I've advised you, but because of pride and different things, they're going in the opposite direction. You know, we as human beings on earth, we don't like to deal with pride people. So how much more does our Heavenly Father resist the pride? Because when He resists, when we are proud, we can't hear Him. So therefore, He does not hear our prayer. When we come before God, God is asking us to be poor in spirit. Be really like a child. Be open. Be poor in spirit. What did Jesus say in the Beatitudes? He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, when we're poor in spirit, that means we can be filled up. And it takes a humble and contrite heart to come before God and say, Lord, I need you. Fill me up. I know I think I may have some things together and things are going well, but Lord, I'm pushing that to the side. You fill me up with what I need because I need you. And so we need to be poor in spirit when we come before God. In 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, verse 27, God speaks in this situation, and He says, and He kind of highlights what He is looking for when we come to Him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 27 says, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before me, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I have also heard you, says the Lord. You see the emphasis there? Amen. You see the emphasis there? Some of the things that God is saying to the children of Israel. I mean, you see the image that there's a condition of our heart where we come before God so that he will hear what we are praying about, what we're coming to him about, and he'd be willing to respond. So number two, why is humility so important? Why is humility before God so important? It's so he will hear our prayers.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Our prayers. Amen. Number
Amen.
Two, why is humility before God so important? So we don't get caught in a trap of exalting ourselves ahead of God. Amen. Exalting ourselves ahead of God. See, we can be lifted up in our flesh and God be lifted up in our life at the same time. We can't. We cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve ourselves and God at the same time. We have to choose. And we see in society today, and it's kind of difficult because we're raised in a society where so much emphasis is put on a personal brand of a person, on who you are and who you can raise yourself to be. If you go do these things, and you can make your name great and lift yourself up, and you can be this big person and all these different things. And so much of what we are subjected to, even as children, is about how important we are and using what we feel is to be important as a means for building ourselves up and our name and who we are and all these different things and whatnot. And we get into, we devise a strategy and career for things that would exalt ourselves. And that's a trap. That's a trap. We can't even come before God lifted up in our flesh and just caught up on ourselves. Our goal as created beings is to glorify him, and when that is done, he will exalt us. See, that's how it works. You know, I love it how when the Pharisees and the scribes and the leaders went to John the Baptist, who was a forerunner before Christ, paving the way for the Lord. And they asked him, they said, are you Christ? Now, he had every opportunity because he was baptizing and all these different things he was doing, and God was working mightily in his life and stuff like that. They had the opportunity to still be God's son and to kind of listen to him. Well, yeah, you know, I am paving the way for the Lord, so I'm important. But he didn't say that. He said, I am not the Christ. You know, he said, I am not a prophet. And what's the most important thing he said towards the end was he said, I told you once before, I am not the Christ. But there is one that comes who stands on, I am not even worthy to talk. And he says from the very end, he says, I must become less, and he must become greater. See, that's the heart of humility, acknowledging that, number one, that he must lift up the Son of God. He must lift Christ up in his life. And it was later when he was killed and Jesus and them found out that he was killed and he turned to the disciples and started talking about John the Baptist, but Jesus had come and said John the Baptist was the greatest of the prophets. He exalted him by talking about him to his disciples and the folks that were listening. And so there's a formula there where, again, our goal is to glorify him. And when that is done, when we become less and we lift him up in our life, he will exalt us. Humility must be exercised before God will honor us. Amen. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 33 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Let's read that one more time. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. When we put Christ before ourselves, he will exalt us in due time. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Brother T.
Amen. In due time. So there's a formula. There's a way that God is speaking to us clearly in his word of how we are getting exalted. And basically, exalted does not have to come from man, but we should be speaking it from God. But we have to humble ourselves first before him and seek him, and in due time, he will exalt us. Amen. So, so number three, why humility before God is so important is so we don't get caught in the trap of exalting ourselves ahead of God. Last point. Number four, why humility is before God is so important. It's so important. It is so we can achieve our ultimate goal and be a servant like Christ. See, this is what this is all about. This is what it's all about. The whole goal of our life is what we can say, and we have the measures of the time of life that God gives us. His whole goal is to make us more like him. Not more like ourselves, and we have this name, but no, more like him, because we claim to be like him when we say we are Christians. That's what we're saying. That's what we're saying. We're claiming to be him, and you know we have a lot of people that are saying Christians by name, but have no fruit in their life to show it out. But when we say we are Christians, we say that he is Lord, boss, over our life. What we're really saying is we want to be like, you know, the Bible says that we are ambassadors of Christ. We are ambassadors of Christ. And what is an ambassador? An ambassador is someone who goes out from whom he serves and goes out as an extension of whom he serves and plants a flag and represents him in some foreign land, somewhere away from the center. And the wonderful thing about the ambassador is his flag and who he represents does not represent the ambassador, but he represents who sent him. So when people see, when they have American ambassadors and stuff like that, when they see an ambassador, it's not so much about who the ambassador is, but it's about who that person represents and all the ideals and principles that person brings with them. Well, we are ambassadors of Christ. And so when we are in ministries or we are in our families or we're working at our jobs with people, people should not see us, but they should see Christ living through us. They should see the love of God because we're there to represent him and not ourselves. And so one of the big reasons why humility is so important to be before God is so that he can work through us.
Amen.
Through our entire lives. It's not an overnight success. It's an entire life work to make us be like him. Christ placed a priority on serving others in his earthly ministry. He placed a priority on that. And we have, again, as I said before, we have some men and women today that are working, you know, they get to define themselves in leadership positions like that, and it becomes very clear after a while they're posturing themselves there because they're looking to be served and exalted by people. Very similar to what the Pharisees were doing during the time of Jesus. But Jesus teaches a very important lesson about this whole thing when Jesus talks to the apostles, and in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 43, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, verse 43, he says, yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever of yours desires to be first shall be slave of all.
Amen.
For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life ransom for men. This is the place where this is what Jesus said he came for, and as his representative, this is also what we come to do when we are taught life and people thought. That we're giving ourselves over so that Christ can be glorified in other people's lives. And so, but that takes humility. Because through humility, we're able to see the instruction, be in fellowship with God. So every day, as every day passes, he continues to clean us, continues to make us over, continues to fill us up with the love and knowledge of God and of himself, so that way we can be more like him and be able to operate by the Holy Spirit in his fullest, based on the measure that the Holy Spirit has given us. And so, again, number four, why humility before God is so important is so we can achieve the ultimate goal and we can be like him. Be like him here in the earth. So, in closing, we'll make a few short points in closing.
Amen.
We talked about earlier, Jesus makes the point, he says that we should be like a child, okay, to enter the kingdom of heaven. and he's talking about certain attributes of a child that we talked about earlier. And point one should be we should be teachable and eager to learn from God. And it takes a humble heart to receive instruction and wisdom from God. Because the proud spirit says to itself that I don't need nothing. And I know it all. You know, or I don't need this. I mean, a proud spirit is like a wall that's resistant to instruction. But we need a humble heart. We need a heart of humility to receive instruction and wisdom from God. Number two, we need to have, as a child, we have, as we grow, earthly fathers that have led us. We need to have a desire to be led by Heavenly Father. You see, we have a lot of people that, again, we claim to be Christians, but his leading is in his word and by the Holy Spirit, which is interpretation. It teaches us to interpret the word, but we don't want to do what the word says. And see, we have to have a desire, even though we don't do it perfectly, we have to have a desire within us to be led as a child by the Heavenly Father. And by that leading, that's how people know that we are followers of Christ. By us reading our word in that fellowship with God and obeying the Holy Spirit. That's how people know. Not by what we're just saying, but how we are walking in the word. Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God.
Oh.
Amen. These are the sons of God. And lastly, last point, closing point is we have to have a willingness to submit to Christ's authority and be like a sponge, like a child. Be like a sponge. Just soak up all we can get until we just run it over. Let God pour into it. You know, just embrace it. You know, just get in there and get all of God that we can in that relationship. Because when we do, there's certain things that come from that relationship that we're so blessed with. And in the book of Psalms, the Lord tells us how blessed we are when we are like a sponge. And he not only tells us how blessed we are, but he tells us the result of being like a sponge, being in God's presence, enjoying and longing to be with him. He tells us the result of what we get when we do. That takes the humble spirit. In Psalm, which is a popular scripture, in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 through 3, in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2 through 3 says, it's talking about the man that's blessed. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law he meditates day and night. Day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves shall also not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Amen. And so we just remember that and get that fellowship with God. Be as a child before him. We will prosper in all that he has designed us to do. Amen?
Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you and the peace of God be upon you. And we will see you next time, next week at the preferred time. A few difficulties, but we praise God. And God love you and tell your family the same. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dr. Newsom.
Come on, Dr. Hunter.
Hey, Dr. Newsom, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great, Apostle. How are you?
I'm blessed, Apostle. I'm doing great. Well, that is the night that the Lord has given you a divine word for us. We're listening.
Well, glory to God. I tell you, he's always giving us instruction. He's always telling us what to do to succeed in life. He's a good God, isn't he?
He's a good God.
And I just want to tell Jason, he is doing a magnificent job.
Amen.
I want to encourage him to keep up the great work.
Jason, are you still on the line?
Yes, sir. No, thank you, sir. Apostle. Thanks, sir.
Stick with it. stick with it, Minister. Stick with it. I tell you, when you stick with it, I tell you, God's going, Yahweh, He's going to open up more doors, more and more doors for you. He's going to take care of everything that you need.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Apostle, I want to talk about faithfulness tonight. Is that okay?
Go right ahead. Take the word and go with it.
I want to talk about faithfulness.
Faithfulness.
That Hebrew word is emunah. Emunah. That's the Hebrew word. And it means, that's the Hebrew word for faithful. And it means to be devoted. It means to be honest. It means to be dependable. It means to be trustworthy. It means to be trustworthy, honest, devoted, dependable. And so that's what God told me to talk to those who are listening, talk to those who are listening all around the world. He told me to talk to you about faithfulness. And I tell you, that's a powerful word right there. That's a powerful word, faithfulness. And we're going to look at the three areas of life that we must be faithful in to be promoted. And I know if you're anything like I am, I want to be promoted. I don't want to stay at the same level for the rest of my life. And the good news about it, Apostle, is that God is a God of promotion.
He is.
He delights in the prosperity of His servants. He is a God of promotion. If you would be able to talk to Joseph today, God would tell you, Joseph would tell you, yeah, Yahweh is a God of promotion.
He
would tell you. If you could talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego today, they would tell you, Apostle, yeah, I'm a witness. Yahweh is a God of promotion.
Yeah.
And if you talk to Dr. Newsom today, or Apostle Hunter today, he'll tell you, yeah.
Yes,
Yahweh
is
the God of promotion. He's always promoting somebody.
Amen.
He's always promoting. He is the God of promotion. So that's what I want to talk about, and is faithfulness, and we're going to look at three areas in life that we must be faithful in order to be promoted. Now, let's look at Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. Luke chapter 16, verses 10 through 12. And Yeshua said, and when I say Yeshua, that's Jesus. But Yeshua is his Aramaic name, Yeshua, or Hebrew name, Yeshua. So, and I'm a student of Hebrew, so I'm not trying to show out. But I just know if I don't practice what I'm learning, I'll lose it. So I'm practicing what I'm learning. So Jesus' Hebrew name is Yeshua. Yeshua, you see, because in the Hebrew, there is no J sound. No J sound. So Yeshua. In the Aramaic, there is no J sound. So his Hebrew name is Yeshua. So that's what I mean. Now, if you say Jesus, that's okay. Because until you learn and you check out what I'm saying and you learn and begin to practice his Hebrew name, it's okay. And when you say Jesus, he knows that you're addressing it to the same God I'm addressing it and addressing what I'm addressing. Amen?
So, amen.
But his name is Yeshua. His name is Yeshua. That's his Hebrew name. And it says in Luke chapter 16, verse 10 through 12, he that is faithful and that which is least is faithful in much. And he that is unjust in the least, he is unjust also in the much. If you're not taking care of the little business that you have right now, you won't take care of the big business. If you're not taking care and managing properly the little that you have right now, you won't take care and be faithful with the much. That's what Yeshua is saying. In verse 11, he says, if therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? I'm talking about faithfulness, emunah, and that's the Hebrew word for faithful, and it means to be honest, dependable, devoted, and it means to be trustworthy. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 28, and I hope you all are reading along with me. I tell you, this word, it will help you. We're talking about faithfulness, because if I don't care who you are. If you're looking to be promoted in God's kingdom, you're going to have to be faithful. That's the only way. That's the only way that He'll promote you. That, and I tell you, promotion, the Bible says, don't come from the north, Dr. Honor, or the south, or the east, or the west. But apostle, where does it come from?
It comes from
the Lord. It comes from the Lord. You can try brown nosing your way up all you want to, but once you get there, it ain't going to last. It ain't nothing that's, because promotion comes from God. The psalmist said, He's the lifter up of mine head. Glory to God. And I'm telling you, Yahweh won't only lift your head up, but He'll lift your pocketbook up too. Won't He, doctor?
Yes, He will. Yes, He
will. Faithfulness. Three areas that we must be faithful in to be promoted. The Hebrew word is emunah. The phonetic spelling is emoonaw. And it's pronounced emunah. That's how the word in faithful in Hebrew is pronounced. Now, here's the three areas that we must be faithful in to be promoted. First of all, I said, look at Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 20. The scripture says that a faithful man shall abound with blessings.
Yes.
A faithful man. I want you to look at part A of that scripture. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. And you know that word abound, I mean, that's to the overflow.
That's a measure
that can't be measured. Abound. That's something that can't really be measured. And see, that's where God want to take you and I to in life. He want to take us to a place where, hey, man, it's hard to really know how much we have because we have so much.
We have
so much. And there are people right on the earth today. They have so much. They hire people to try to keep watch over what they have because they have so much. And so you can be elevated. You can be promoted to the point where it's hard to actually say how much you have because you have so much. And that's where Yahweh wants to take you and I. He wants to take us to a place where we're walking in abundance, where we have so much that we don't actually know how much we have. It's hard to measure it. It's hard to keep up with. A faithful man shall abound with blessings. Three areas we must be faithful in to be promoted. Number one, we've got to be faithful with the little things. We've got to be faithful with the little things. The little things. If you won't take care of the little things, Yeshua said you won't take care and be faithful over that which is much. So we have to learn how to be faithful right where we are. If you have very little, be faithful with the very little that you have. Don't despise your day of small beginnings.
Amen.
You got enough to be faithful with. You've got enough to be trustworthy and dependable and taking care of it. Take care of the little thing. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10. The scripture says, for who hath despised the day of small things? Who? God's putting the question out there. Who's despising the day of small things? We don't have time to be going around despising or belittling me. Belittling a little place. No, take care of your little place. You got a little church, take care of your little church. You got a little house, take care of your little house. You have a little car, take care of your little car. God will give you more.
Yes.
He'll give you more. He'll increase you. He'll promote you if he sees that you're taking care of the little that you have. Look at Luke chapter 19 and verse 17. The scripture says, and he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thy authority over 10 cities.
My God.
Why was this servant put over 10 cities? Because he was faithful with the little.
With the little.
He was faithful with the little. Look at David, apostle. Look at David. David rose up early in the morning when he was a little boy. King David, when he was a little boy. He rose up early in the morning to take care of a few sheep. he took care of a few little sheep. And even his brothers joked about him and mocked him about the few little sheep that he would watch over.
Crazy.
But yet he was promoted to be the second king of Israel. Glory to God.
Because
isn't that awesome? Because he didn't despise taking care of a little few sheep that his father placed him over to watch and take care of. He didn't despise it, that, or belittle it. Man, he took care of those few little sheep. And God promoted him to be the second king over Israel. Isn't that wonderful? Look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And let's look at verse 28 and 29. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 28 and 29. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spoke unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He's mocking David. Saying, amen, who's watching the few little sheep? Aren't you supposed to be watching those few little sheep, David? But you're over here with us. You need to be watching those few little sheep. And look what Eliab said about David. He said, I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Look at verse 29. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Look at verse 34. Go over to verse 34. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. David says when he was watching the few little sheep that his daddy had him watching, he said, When a lion or a bear came and took one of the lambs, David said he went and he went and got it back. Look what he says in verse 35. He says, and I went after him and smote him. He went and smote the lion or the bear. If it would take one of those little sheep, you see, he was taking it seriously. It was important for him to take care of the few little sheep, apostle. He took care of the few little sheep. He put his life on the line. When a bear or a lion came and took one of the sheep, David went after the bear and slew the bear. Or he went after the lion and slew the lion. What was David doing? He was taking care of those few little sheep. And look at verse 36. He says, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. He's talking about Goliath. And David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And we all know the whole story. We know that David defeated Goliath, cut his head off. I tell you, he defeated him. and he was able to tap into this power of God, Apostle Hyman. He was able, David was able to tap into that anointing and that power of God that he needed to slay the giant, Goliath. He tapped into the power of God. Why? Because he took care of those few little sheep. He took care of them. So God gave him an anointing, gave him power, the ability to slay a giant. And also God made him the second king of Israel. You see, God will promote you when you take care of the little, your little few sheep, so to speak. Yo, whatever is little in your life, take care of it, and God will promote you. Don't despise your day of small beginnings. Don't do it. Number two, we're talking about faithfulness, and we're looking at the three areas that you must be faithful in order for God to promote you. Number one, you've got to be faithful with the little things. With the little things. You've got to be faithful. Excuse me?
Amen.
Amen. You've got to be faithful with the little things. Wherever you're at in life, whatever is little in your life, thank God that he's given you something to work with.
Amen.
We all have something to work with and be faithful with. Like I said earlier, if you have a small ministry, be faithful with that small ministry. Don't despise your day of a small beginning. Be faithful. If you have a little house, be faithful with it. If you have a little car, be faithful with it. Be faithful with the little that you have, and God will promote you. Number two, you've got to be faithful with money. You've got to be faithful with money. You mean to tell me that God looks at us and to see if we're being faithful with money? He sure does. He sure does. Abram became the father. He became Abraham, the father of many nations. And Abram paid his tithe. Isn't that right, Apostle?
Amen.
He paid his tithe. He paid his tithe.
He paid.
You've got to be faithful with your money. Pay your tithe. Give offerings. Support your pastor financially. He sows
Amen.
Into your life spiritually. Sow into your pastor's life financially. Pay
Praise
your
God.
Tithe. Pay your tithe. What is a tithe? 10 cents off of every dollar. Every dollar you get increased with, you pay 10 cents off of that dollar to God. That's what the tithe is. Be faithful with your money. I got a testimony at church this Sunday. Sister Flynn, one of our church family members, she asked me to share a testimony with our church family. She got up there and began to share a testimony, and she said, Pastor, I was at the house, and I was doing something in the house, Pastor. She was telling the whole church. And she said, all of a sudden, I heard a loud sound, bang, bang. And she said, man, what was that? And she went to look and make to see what had happened. A young man was cleaning his pistol, and the pistol jammed, and he shot four bullets came through her house, through the living room window, and she
my,
has little children in the house.
My God,
he was in
my
the
God.
House. She even broke, the, she broke two of the bullets. She brought two of the bullets to church, and she said, see, here's the bullets right here. And I tell her, she got about six children, little children, six or seven children in the house. She didn't get hurt. The children didn't get hurt. One of the builders went through a wall, and it went through a couch, and it went through out the back a window. And she said, Pastor, you know what? Usually that's the yard man cuts that the yard, but that day he didn't even come and cut the yard, and he would have been right back there.
My God.
And she said the first thing that she saw after all that had happened and everybody was the same, she said, Pastor, she told the church, she said, you know what God showed me, what was impressed on my heart? She said, tithe. And tithe in our church means tithe, offering, and pastor's gift. She said, it's because I took care of my tithe. I pay my tithe. I give offerings, and I support my pastor financially, that God rebuke the devourer for my sake. Good
Amen.
God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
You see, she's been faithful with her what? Money.
Money.
We've got to be faithful with our money. When you're faithful with money, God, Yahweh, will promote you. Isn't that wonderful news?
Amen.
Look at Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14. Abraham was faithful with his money. He was faithful with his money. And he became the father. God promoted him from Abram. What does Abram mean, Apostle? We learned about that in school. Abram is exalted father.
Exalted father. That's
but Abraham is father of many nations. So because Abram was faithful with his money, God made him Abraham, which means father of many nations. Because Abraham paid his tithe. And I'm going to show you that. He paid his tithe. He took care of the money that God blessed him with. He paid his tithe. Look at Genesis chapter 14. Genesis chapter 14, verses 18 through 24. The scripture says, and
Melchizedek,
king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And
Amen.
He gave him what? Tithes
Tithe.
Of all. You see, Abraham, after he had defeated his enemies and took the spoils, he gave 10%. Of the spoils that he had got in some battle, victory in battle. He paid 10 cents off of every dollar. He paid tithes of all. He paid tithes of all. You see, Abraham, he was faithful with money. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lifted up mine hand unto the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from the thread even to the shoe lashes, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest I should say I have made Abram rich. Save only that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men which went with me. What I want you to pay attention to was in verse 20. Abram paid tithe. He was faithful with his money. Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. The scripture lets us know that if we pay our tithe and give offerings, he'll open up the window of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we don't have room enough to store. We've got to be faithful with money. Be faithful with money. For us to be promoted, got to be, Apostle, got to be. For us to be promoted by God, number one, we got to be faithful with the little things. Number two, we got to be faithful with money.
Amen.
Got to be faithful with money. And you know what? A good credit rating. You know, I used to not think too much of that, but a good credit rating, a passing credit rating, is showing you that, hey, you're handling your money right. You're handling your money right. You're being faithful with money. But even above the credit rating, even above that credit rating, you'll have a great credit rating with God if you pay your tithes and you give offerings and you support your pastor financially. Be faithful with your money. God will promote you. And my final point is be faithful with other people's property. Be faithful with other people's property. Don't work on somebody's job and tear up their property.
Amen.
don't go to another man's ministry and tear up his ministry.
Amen.
You got to be faithful with other people's property.
Got to be.
I'm not on Apostle Hunter's radio program trying to tear up his radio program and act a fool and act a nut.
Amen.
No, I'm not. I'm going to be faithful with another man's property. Who going to give you your own ministry if you ain't faithful with another man's ministry?
Praise God. Praise
You've got
God.
To be faithful with other people's property.
Amen.
And Joseph was faithful with other people's property. He was in the house of Potiphar. Look at Genesis chapter 39. Taking care of business. Joseph was a slave. He could have been depressed and had a chip on his shoulder and said, hey, man, I'm just this man's slave. I don't care about his stuff. And he could have just been tearing up his stuff. But no, he was faithful with his master's, his slave master's property.
Yes,
now,
he
if Joseph will. Can be faithful with his slave master's property, surely we can be faithful on another man's a job, on his business, in another man's business, or another man's ministry. We've got to be faithful with other people's property. Look at Genesis chapter 39, verses 7 through 9. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me, Joseph, lie down with me, have sex with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master, he placed everything in my hand with me in the house, everything under my power. And he had committed all things that he has into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. I can't touch you, lady. I can't mess with you because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, Joseph was just in the house taking care of Potiphar's business, and he didn't even mess with Potiphar's wife. Could have slept with her because she wanted to sleep with him, but he was faithful. He was faithful with another man's property. That woman belonged to Potiphar, didn't belong to Joseph. He was faithful with another man's property. I tell you, he was so faithful in Potiphar's house, Potiphar's house increased and prospered because Joseph was faithful with another man's property. And we all know that Joseph, he got thrown into the dungeon. He got thrown into the to prison. But before it was all over, God brought Joseph up out of that prison and placed him in second command over all of Egypt. Second only to the Pharaoh.
Amen.
Was
Amen.
Able to save the Egyptians and his whole house, his whole family, his brothers and his dad and his family. He's got to save them from starvation. And matter of fact, Joseph was able to save other people all around the world because they were coming to Egypt for food because it was a worldwide famine.
Yes.
All because Joseph was faithful with another man's property.
Another man's property.
Faithfulness is a powerful word. We need to be faithful. We need to be faithful with the little things. We need to be faithful with money. We need to be faithful with other people's property. And when we do that, God, Yahweh, will promote us. Amen?
Amen. Well, while I have both of you brothers on there, I want to say this. I thank God for both of you teachers, y'all, have a great ministry. God is constantly improving it. But one of the things I want to pass on to the people that are listening is this. A lot of people don't know the beginning of Joel Osteen, but I know Joel Osteen because of John Osteen.
Yes,
but
sir.
When Dolo Sting got on the radio on the television Sunday, just passing by, listen, he told the people, he says, no matter what the devil said to me, God always said I was successful. He's there for me. And one of the things
yes.
he made a when Mayor Brown was the mayor of Houston, during that time of hard finances in the city of Houston, they were selling off projects. And they had the rocket, the sun out there for 59, and they want to set it. They tried their best to set it. When you're praying for something, God will always come on time. And here's what I like
yes.
to say, because I knew what God was doing through him, by him, and for him. This man had been coming there, and he never seen it but once or twice. He said he prayed he came there. The doctors couldn't find a healing for him. They were checking. They were checking. That tomb was still there. He said, but when the people of this church prayed for me, he says, the tumor, it dissolved. Secondly, most of all, firstly, he says they wanted at least $7 to $8 million for that whole center. He said, but God had got in the picture through the fasting of praying of believers that with you, apostle, with you, teacher, with you, apostle, began to pray and believe God. And they came back to Lakewood Church and said, we sell it to you for $7 million. Do you have the money there? Joel Osteen wrote a cashier's check. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? He wrote a cashier's check for $7 million.
Whoa.
And they now own that whole piece of property. Don't tell me what God can do.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Can do anything he wants to do, providing that we as believers, over y'all been teaching stone stuff in Atlanta. Woo! Y'all been teaching
Glory
stone.
To God.
Glory to God. And I want to tell you, one of the things that there will be some changes, but I'll be letting us all know what we're going to do. But I want to say this to you, both of y'all. I love y'all. I thank God for you.
Thank God for you, Apostle.
Amen. Y'all just
Amen.
Don't know.
Thank God for you.
Amen. See, many days, I've had to be by myself, but I kept the faith. Many days. And all I can tell you is this, what God's going to do now, God is raising us all up the same way. Because
Amen.
God has a big call. And when you talk about the last day we live in, we're now. America needs our prayers. So we on the radio station, though, behind the scenes, let's start praying more that we in the body of Christ. See, there are a lot of people that want to believe what you're saying. Give your tithes. Pay your offering. Bless the pastor. They're going to go along with the first two, with the last, they're going to always, I don't see why I should pay him. What? You shouldn't. You should pay the person because God's going to take care of you. And what I've come to find out, the more you trust God and his ever endowment, God will make it so. But I want to say that to you, and I want to thank God for both of y'all, and I'm going to upload this on so everybody can hear it, okay?
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. God bless both of you. Peace with you. See y'all next time.
Amen.
Amen.